Welcome to a special edition of Studio Sacramento. Clay, how is your life today different than it was when the shelter in place order went out?
Yeah, so it's completely different. The hospitality industry got turned upside down, and you know, we had to quickly think about how we were going to approach our business in this new reality. So I'd say in every facet, it's completely different.
Give us an example of how dramatic the change has been.
Sure. So on the Sunday after the governor's announcement about, you know, the various mandates that impacted our particular industry, you know, the very next day we had to lay everyone off. And that was an incredibly difficult decision, but one that was necessary. But we had also been, you know, seeing some of the writing on the wall and had been thinking about how we were going to approach our business moving forward. We knew that if we had the opportunity to transition our business, which as a restaurant, we may be thought of as more of a fine dining type concept. And we had never done what I would consider curbside or pickup business. And so we quickly pivoted to that type of business model and were able to do that within a few days of laying everyone off, which allowed us to bring a few more people who are looking for hours back into the fold. So, you know, really, because we had never done that type of business, for us to transition to that, that was a huge undertaking on our part. And then just trying to identify other initiatives that can really keep people working. That's our main concern, is helping our employees. And then, of course, our second concern is saving our business. And then we're also deeply thoughtful about our community as well.
Right. And Dave, your business has just as much human interaction as Clay does. Tell us about your world today and how it is that Kovars is navigating that world.
Thank you for the opportunity to talk to you today. I appreciate it, Scott. We have 9 academies in the greater Sacramento area. And so we had to close those the day that the governor gave the order. And so what we've done though, is we've been teaching online classes and we've been building Kovars TV on our website we started last year in doing this. And so our students can now go to the website and take private lessons or lessons off of our website and train at home. In addition, we have about 150 martial arts school owners around the world who consult with us. And they've been very active in trying to get our advice on how they should also maneuver in this new world, along with all of the things that are coming from the SBA that they need help with in figuring out what they should be doing and in requesting funds. And so our world has changed quite a bit in that we're now online, our schools are not open right now, and our clients around the world are really depending on us to give them some advice for what they should be doing.
Heather, when you hear these stories, what are some of the common themes that you're hearing from Dave and Clay that you're also hearing in the other conversations that you're having around the region right now?
So thanks, Scott. That's a great question. You know, it's very telling, even just listening to Dave and Clay, the innovation and spirit of entrepreneurship that, you know, doing online classes, that's fantastic. We're hearing over and over again. We've got a lot of distilleries in the area that have pivoted over and are now making hand sanitizers. We're looking for fabric entities to sew up the masks. And it's just truly a new world. We've experienced similar things here in my office with having people telework. It's just a different time.
And in terms of your office itself, what activities are you adding on to the portfolio you've got right now that are directly related to the relief programs that have just been passed by Congress?
Mm-hmm. So again, that's a great question. We, with the Small Business Administration, have always had our Office of Disaster Assistance. With that program, we have typically been or found ourselves in a position of a complementary service in, you know, times of earthquakes or fires or hurricanes, and we typically work hand in hand with FEMA. In this instance, it is so different being a pandemic, because it's really, there's not an event per se that has happened. It is, you know, an airborne sickness. So we find ourselves playing the role of kind of first responder. And we're talking to our small businesses and trying to assist them and triage their businesses and, you know, reassess how we can assist. So with that particular component, that's something that's still in play. We've been offering our economic injury disaster loans for the past couple of weeks. We now have the opportunity through the CARE Act to, on Friday, the Payment Protection Program will launch. And that's actually a different type of program. It's actually going to be deployed by our lending partners. So we have a lot of information coming out on that, but again, that would be deployed by our lending partners, and SBA would provide the guarantee for those particular transactions.
And Dave, I know that you talk with a lot of people in the business community who are situated similarly to Kovars and to Clay with Cannon. What are the big needs that you anticipate needing help with, not just today, but into the future?
Yeah, so I think we have costs that aren't going to go away. We have 9 locations, and those landlords are in the same position we're in. So what we are looking for is flexibility with other people that we work with and helping us to guide through this time. And I've been on the phone with those landlords all week long, trying to figure out how we can do this. The Paycheck Protection Program is going to help us, because it's going to allow us to be able to give some money towards the rents over the next couple of months. But I know other people in the area have the same issue I have, is they have costs that don't necessarily go away during this time, even though they're not able to generate any revenue. So trying to generate that revenue in a time when you're not in the normal business is difficult. And so flexibility is really something that we would ask and hope to get.
And Clay, your business, the restaurant business, is known for being a very thin margined business that requires a great deal of precision in terms of being successful. And just curious, when you talk to other people in your world that are doing what you're doing, where is it that the pain is highest that you need relief from right now?
Yeah, I think it comes down to lost revenue for a lot of us, because there are programs like PPP coming out that certainly help take care of some of our issues. Of course, if we're funded. But really the missed opportunities that we might have had, you know, we have had some really beautiful days where we may have had a full patio. We made a big investment in our patio at Cannon this year so that we could have year-round events. So those are some of the things that I don't know how we're going to recoup. So, you know, loans are very helpful to kind of stopgap some of that, but you know, really it's more about how are we going to recover some of those lost revenue opportunities. So I think that's a primary you know, discussion around our small industry in Sacramento. We're trying to find ways to bring in revenue right now. Some of us have closed our doors completely. Some of us are doing what we're doing, which is, you know, very minimal curbside business. Finding other catering jobs that are serving, you know, people who are on the front lines. So those types of things are keeping us, I guess, afloat. But nothing replaces the revenue that we would be seeing on a day in and day out basis. So that's something that's kind of on the forefront of a lot of our minds.
Heather, if you could walk us through the different programs that are coming online and how small business people can access those programs in terms of where they go, who they talk to, and really what they need to be prepared for.
Sure. So again, Scott, that's a great question. With respect to what's coming online through the CARES Act, I have to talk at kind of a very high level because we don't have all of the details on that. With respect to the Payment Protection Program, again, those will be administered directly through lending institutions. So the way that we have been advising our small businesses when they reach out to my office is to go to their local bank or credit union and have that conversation. What do they need to get prepared for? What type of financial documents do they have to have in hand? That type of a conversation.
And what are they eligible for, if you might? Can you weave in what they're eligible for and what the terms are on that?
Sure. So from, again, a very, very high level, with the Payment Protection Program, the loan amounts actually go up to $10 million. With that said, that's supposed to encompass, you know, 2.5 times 2 months payroll for their employees, mortgage interest, rent, utilities, that type of thing. So those would be the use of proceeds that would be eligible under that particular program. We're looking at a 2-year term on that program. And then the interest rates, SBA plans on making the interest payments to the lender to make the lender whole, but the lenders will be offering these terms at 1% interest for that 2-year timeframe. To pivot off of that, the current loan that we offer through the Economic Injury Disaster Program, that goes up to $2 million. The uses are basically, you know, you can cover those payroll expenses, the mortgage interest, the rent, the utilities, cost of goods sold, inventory, et cetera. So that could help a little bit as far as like Clay's comments about not being able to capture that lost revenue. But again, that particular program, those are all fixed for 30 years. And they carry a 3.75% interest. So again, that's a direct program from SBA as opposed to the CARES programs that are coming online. That will be deployed from the lending institutions. And then of course, any SBA loan that is current, either a 7A or a 504, and those are just part of the Small Business Act, those names. Those will be deferred for a period of up to 6 months, and SBA will pay the interest on those through this CARES Act funding.
And you can use these funds for what things related to the operation of our businesses?
So again, the mortgage payments, utilities, payroll expenses, benefits that are associated to payroll, not necessarily that lost revenue component on that payment protection program, but again, more details to follow when that is rolled out on Friday. But with the economic injury loan, the one that's capped at that $2 million, that can encompass much more. And I should also mention that small businesses are eligible for both of these programs, but what we need to do is make certain that we're not being duplicative in the use of proceeds on each of these programs. So if we're looking for mortgage payments or rent payments on the EIDL or economic injury disaster loan, we can't then ask for those same use of proceeds on the payment protection program.
And the eligibility for these programs, mm-hmm. for-profit small businesses, corporations, even 501c3s,
correct.
Not 501c6s or associations or anything like that.
Not at this time, but I know that there are conversations going on amongst our congressional leaders with respect to those organizations. But at this particular point in time, it would be that 501c3 and then 501c19, which is veterans organizations.
All right. Dave, I wanted to ask you, In listening to Heather talk about these programs and what the proceeds can be used for, does it set up for you, and Clay, you can answer this as well, a bit of a conundrum in that, do we keep our employees on staff? Do we lay them off? How do we structure that?
Yeah.
Because there's some really tough decisions that impact people's lives that this program could affect positively, but it seems a little bit murky right now as to how you make those decisions.
So first off, I'd say that it's amazing the amount of money they have been able to put together and get out into the, $350 billion, and administering that cannot be an easy process. So I applaud Heather and the groups for trying to pull this together. And we've actually gotten quite a bit of information just in the last couple of days. And so the first thing, because we have that conundrum, what do we do? And what guides us is what's the quality of our instruction, whatever that requires is what we're going to do. And then we want to make sure that our employees are taken care of. So those two things kind of guide us as we go through. And we're going to be continuing, because we're probably busier now than we've been in a long time, and just setting all of this up. We're doing a lot of private lessons, which requires a lot of time and energy on the staff. And so in many ways, our employees are busier, and there are a lot of hours being dedicated to that quality of instruction. And that's what guides us. And so we've got most of our employees are still on board and intact from even a week ago.
Yeah, for us, I think the payment protection plan is going to be critical, because it allows us to take care of our employees who are really concerned with unemployment. You know, really only goes so far. We have a lot of tip earners in our industry, and you know, they're probably not making the living that they had been used to through unemployment alone. So the payment protection program seems to kind of meet that need, and so that's something that's on the front of our mind. The other loan, the EIDL, I think it is, we're investigating it. We have applied. And, you know, I think for us, we're evaluating, taking on more debt. And really, if we do utilize that tool, I think it will be to set us up for, really getting back into business once, whatever time frame that is, to have resources to kind of hit our stride again. That might be how we would utilize those funds. So they're both, options that we are going to definitely pursue. We're just trying to put ourselves in the best position to survive.
Incidentally, Clay, what's the toughest decision you've had to face since all of this has started?
Yeah, I think just recognizing, on that Sunday when the governor made his announcement, restaurants were allowed to operate at 50% capacity. Now, leading up to that, we had already removed tables the week leading up to that and communicated with our patrons about the steps that our restaurant in an already highly regulated industry had been taken to ensure that, their public health was on our mind. Now, that being said, that Sunday, we just decided, we were going to close to dine in completely, just as a lot of others did. It was best interest of public health. We thought the writing was on the wall, and it certainly was probably going to come down where we'd be mandated to close completely. So as a result, we had to lay off everyone off. And that's really hard. That's tough to make that announcement. And, because employees are family, and they were scared. And, it's our job to do everything in our best power to ensure that they are taken care of, and that's what we aim to do.
Dave, I'm curious, if you were in front of our state and federal leadership right now, as they're going in to think about how to tweak any of these programs or to bring forward something else, and Heather, I'm not going to put you on the spot here because she's one of our officials, what would you tell them in carrying the message back from not just for yourself and your own business, but for all of the people that you know that are also working to stay afloat right now at this moment?
I think we need clarity of programs. And so as Clay mentioned, it's a very scary time for everyone right now. And so the fear is overwhelming. And if we don't have clear programs that lay out exactly what we can do when, then that becomes it becomes more difficult. So I think that we need to communicate to people like me and Clay and others exactly what the programs are and what's coming next, because I don't think, frankly, we're martial artists. We do a lot of things really, really well. And one of the things that we are is positive. So we have a positive mindset about what's coming. But as I look at all of the data and stats, I don't know when this will be, we're able to open our doors again. And so what's coming in programs that could help us down the road, the sooner we know that, the better. It illuminates fear and helps us to plan.
Heather, as you move forward from today and you continue your conversations and your staff continues their activities, how is it that the business community can help you and your team do your job better in helping them? Give us some advice on helping us to help you help us.
So that's actually a great question, Scott. You know, my staff, everybody is so close to the businesses that we serve that it's very distressing seeing our businesses in our neighborhoods and the places that we go and eat or shop at, and that's been a challenge. With trying to figure out how we navigate moving forward, I think it's a message of hope and that we will get through this. This is a temporary hiccup, and although it's very painful at this point in time, help is on the way. And with a typical year in SBA lending through just say our 7A program, again, we typically would loan or guarantee in loans about $27 billion. With our 504 program, we're about another $11 billion. So a total of, 34, and now we have 10 times that with the CARES Act. I think that speaks volumes from our congressional leaders, and that there is the hope that we will be recovering from this and that we will come out stronger because of it. But I also believe that communication is really key. And we sometimes we're not great at that. There are times to where, unfortunately, we don't have the information to share. And I think, looking at our city and county and state leadership, and even our chambers of commerce, those are great avenues. And what we've done thus far, just over the past couple of weeks, is we've started kind of a train the trainer program with our chambers of commerce. And we are trying to educate them so that they in turn can educate the small businesses that are their members. It's difficult when we have such a small office here. We are located in Citrus Heights. We actually have four different programmatic offices of the U.S. Small Business Administration located here. We've got our Office of Disaster Assistance. We have all of the processing that's done for the entire nation in our 7A loan program, and all of the processing that's done for the entire nation in our 504 program, as well as the Sacramento District Office. So this is really where things happen, but quite honestly, we don't have a lot of staff. We have reissued through USA Jobs a call for surge employees, and those are kind of temporary employees to come back and help us assess these. We've actually had a lot of private sector partnerships come up, and that's been really, really beneficial. Previously, we had, unfortunately, because of the situation, we had our website crash last Tuesday. We had 4 million hits to our website. That is just unprecedented with our small little agency. These are hiccups that we didn't anticipate. It has now been back up. It's been made faster, better, stronger. A lot of the private public partnerships, we've also revamped our call centers, and our call centers had, in excess of 2 hours in waiting time. They were only manned, we initially from like 8 to 8, and then we went like from 6 to 9. They're now manned 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So we're trying to assist the small businesses. But again, we can't do it alone. It's definitely a team effort, and our city leaders and county and state leaders and our chambers are very, very important to us.
It's really going to take
our
entire community to come together. I guess that old thing, it takes a village, is really true. Thank you for your service, and thank you for your team's service. And Dave and Clay, thank you both. And
you.
Fighting the good fight out there.
Yes, sir.
We need to be fit, and we need to be able to defend ourselves, Dave. And I love to eat. So, we're depending on you.
I think we all do.
All right. Thank you all. Thank you all for taking time out of your days.
Thank you, Scott. Appreciate it.
With us. And that's our show. Thanks to our guests, and thanks to all of you for watching Studio Sacramento. I'm Scott Syphax. See you next time right here on KVIE.
Thank you for listening to Studio Sacramento from KVIE Public Television. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a review on iTunes to help others find it.
All episodes of Studio Sacramento, along with other KVIE programs, are available to watch online at kvie.org/video.